assembled here today to pay final respects to our honored dead. And yet it should be noted that in the midst of our sorrow, this death takes place in the shadow of new life, the sunrise of a new world, a world that our beloved comrade gave his life to protect and nourish. He did not feel this sacrifice a vain or empty one, and we will not debate his profound wisdom at these proceedings. Of my friend, I can only say this. Of all the souls I have encountered in my travels, his was the most human.
Others?
Welcome, listeners, on this, a sad podcast in which we note the passing of Leonard Nimoy. Pete, here we are just a couple hours after having heard the news, and where do we begin?
Matt, February 27th, 2015, we have lost a giant. The news came down earlier today that famed actor of screen, stage, director, photographer, poet, all-around gentleman, Leonard Nimoy had succumbed at the age of 83 to chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder, also known as COPDA. Word going out around midday here on the East Coast.
Pete, it certainly was just, it was met, I think, with not a ton of surprise. I think most people, even if you're not a big Star Trek fan, knew that he was in the hospital since last weekend. Knew that he had referenced about a year ago that the damage done, the long term damage done to his lungs by smoking. But I found myself, you know, I initially heard it and was like, you know, oh, what a shame, so sad, et cetera, et cetera. But it really took a little time. After I got home, seeing what people had to say on Twitter, looking at his Twitter feed, reflecting over his career, and I mean not to put too fine a point on it, but like this is a giant who was a giant before I was even born, and it's just kind of this moment where you can reflect on the mortality that we all have.
Seeing it. And, you know, having seen that he had been in the hospital and was released, and his last two tweets that he himself authored and sent out, one being a poem of his own creation, and the other, you know, really echoing the sentiment to stop and smell the flowers. You got a sense something was up. You didn't have a sense of imminence, though. And when I saw it, it wasn't so much of I'm stunned, but okay, he's gone. This was a guy who in the past year, post-diagnosis, came on Twitter and talked about his love for the fans and being an adoptive grandfather to all of his fans, you know, really taking on that kind of mentality. And I think the duology of who Leonard Nimoy ultimately is the idea that the man authored a book in the 70s called I Am Not Spock, so concerned about the typecasting, holding out with the film franchise, you know, really being the last one to hold out for it, and then so thoroughly embracing who he was in particularly the last decade and what this character meant, his presence in the rebooted Star Trek films, the linchpin, the reason they exist as Spock Prime. You cannot for a moment undermine this man's legacy. And consider this, Matt, you know, you're talking about a guy who was in Hollywood for decades. Okay. And there's nary a scandal or an ill word about this guy.
And I think there's been perhaps a bit of a hesitancy for people to kind of go for the quote unquote low hanging fruit of RIP Spock and those sorts of things. But I think in that character, you can find Leonard Nimoy's dedication to his craft and frankly, a lesson for us all, if that's not too bombastic thing to say. This is a character that the network did not want, a character that required extra time out of the day to make happen, required changing his face by way of shaving his eyebrows, you know, let alone from the makeup itself, but at least the makeup came off at the end of the day, shaving off the edges of his eyebrows. But he attacked that character, became that character because it was the role. Not that it was some weird guy who there's something and he doesn't show emotions and he maybe, you know, and it, they originally wanted him to be completely red in his face. And none of that that sounds ridiculous was a barrier to him. There was the craft in playing this character who presented performance challenges, and he embraced that. Not, you know, he was not one to bemoan the fact that it wasn't him running around on the soundstage, shirt off and rapier in hand or that sort of thing, that he was going to really play this character and embrace it, and quickly became the favorite character on the series, certainly while it was on the air, and the character that has appeared in these different, you know, it appeared in Next Generation, appeared in the reboot, made the reboot possible, as you say, and somebody who's been generous towards this thing which gave him fame and fortune and never seemed to spurn it.
I think in a lot of ways his career mirrors the stages of life, and he just came to this wonderful acceptance, whereas in the early to middle part of his career after Star Trek had come and gone, you know, was anxious to put it behind him and to do some other things with the number of talents that he had, he came to realize he is Spock. He came to realize, you know, there's not another actor with an iconic role like this that maybe you could say is as much of the character as Leonard Nimoy was to Spock. I mean, could you talk about William Shatner and Kirk and the bombast and everything like that? You could, but William Shatner would be the first one to tell you he's greatly a caricature. Leonard Nimoy was a consummate professional and a true gentleman, completely beloved. And the outpouring of emotion and tributes as a result of his passing only confirms that.
I'm reminded of the story as to when he met Zachary Quinto, and they had a moment in the elevator together, a private moment, and Leonard Nimoy said, with all this perspective of all these years, said to Zachary Quinto, "Be prepared for your life to change." I think it was at some comic book convention, some Comic-Con, whatever it was, and it was the first time that Quinto was going to, you know, meet the fans and whatnot. And just for Leonard Nimoy to say, happily that he was passing the baton and get ready for this next great portion of your life, and indeed a portion of Leonard Nimoy's life that you know saw him to the end and contributes to his remembrance today. It's an incredible perspective, and as you say, it's an acceptance of that character, which for a time was an annoyance, and that he came to just fully embrace because people had embraced it.
And let's, you know, put out there what we're talking about. Matt, you and I both weaned on Star Trek. That's no secret to longtime listeners of the podcast. But we're talking about somebody who is a charter member of the Mount Rushmore of geek.
Absolutely. And just someone who brought with him a dignity befitting that Mount Rushmore of geek. I remember he had asked for the Star Trek production to install in his car in the 1960s a telephone, which was radical and dynamic. And his logic was he needed it to kind of be keeping up with the business end of this Spock thing. So somebody who was very forward-looking, somebody who just was prepared to give it away, to not be part of the Star Trek Phase 2 series, which eventually became Star Trek the Motion Picture. Even then, kind of wary of it. That's part of the reason why the character shows up a tad late. But just found that character again. And it just kind of adds to the sadness of the day.
Matt, I have very early memories of, you know, Leonard Nimoy as Spock from, you know, Channel 11 WPIX as a really little boy. And then, a graduation gift from my grandparents, which I think further aids the sentimentality, from preschool in 1979. They brought me, you know, at age 4 to see Star Trek the Motion Picture. And I had been a huge Star Wars and still am a huge Star Wars fan. But there was something about Star Trek and his character that made it different, that really solidified it for me. And we move forward a couple years to 1982. And, he had made no secret again about wanting to shed the role. Okay, I'll come back. I'll do it. It'll be my way of getting into directing and things like that, to do these couple big budget movies and to get that cachet and to move forward. You know, he was a tremendous photographer. He has since put out wonderful books, particularly the Human Form and everything going on there. But Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, 1982. And, I was just profoundly impacted by the sacrificial death, which you heard the funeral for of Spock in the opening to this podcast episode. And then what happens, Matt? Spock dies in the theater and our car has died outside. It was one of the worst nights of my life. I was 6. Okay. And I can then remember vividly the run up to Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, and watching Regis Philbin out of New York have, you know, Leonard Nimoy, who directed the movie. It was his directorial debut. And, you know, would he appear in the movie? Wouldn't, you know, even at 8 years old in 1984, I was pretty wise to the fact that, all right, this guy's showing up in the movie. If he doesn't, this is kind of going to be a ripoff. But, so much of what I reflect on film and entertainment comes from my early awareness of this man as an actor and a character. And I like to think of him as a friend, with the persona that he had adapted on Twitter, and particularly calling his fans honorary grandchildren. You know, if George Takei is the crazy uncle, then, you know, Leonard Nimoy was the grandfather.
Well, Pete, you mentioned Twitter, and I don't know how much knowledge Leonard Nimoy had in his final weeks that things were drawing to a close. But his final tweet, if it's not too disrespectful to remember someone by their final tweet, but his tinged with a look forward and a look behind. Pete, it reads, "A life is like a garden. Perfect moments can be had, but not preserved, except in memory. Live long and prosper."
Matt, this is a guy who just got it. And again, despite his, if we want to call it the adolescence in the business, where he railed against being Spock, embracing it as he had. And let's be honest, he's, you know, in his waning days as a performer, you know, he wasn't going to get more directing nods. You know, one of his chief accomplishments, other than the Star Trek movies that he directed, you know, 3 and 4, is, you know, 3 Men and a Baby. Okay, so it's not as if, and this is, you know, no disrespect to him and his abilities, it's not as if he was directing high art fare, but that he continued to be an artist as late in his life as he did. And just the gravitas that this man carried with him, he brought a seriousness and legitimacy to this type of entertainment, where in the past, when he originally played the character, it was a guy sticking ears on, okay? Towards the end of his life, it was no longer a guy sticking a pair of latex ears on. It was becoming a character. And in many ways, his life echoed the Spock character's journey.
Pete, the artist finds his art. The art doesn't find the artist. That he was not directing, you know, Best Picture nominees, maybe that was of some disappointment to him, but those opportunities didn't come, and he found the honor in what he did, as you said, whether it was photography, something kind of as intimate as that. Photography not without controversy, because, you know, some of it, as you suggested, of the nude form and so forth, but just to explore those interests of art, writing, poetry, singing, and so forth. It's a profoundly joyous life that Leonard Nimoy has lived.
I don't think the man looked back at his life with a shred of regret. This was a proud Jewish man. This was a proud Bostonian, but so intimately linked to this beloved character, to this beloved franchise, an elder statesman for not just this franchise, but entertainment. And Matt, you know, we're 49 years into the Star Trek experience. They are deep into the pre-production of the next Star Trek movie, the third in the rebooted universe, that will not contain Leonard Nimoy, and it feels already like there's a void as a result of that. He became very close with Zach Quino, who had a wonderful tribute to him. And he wrote, "My heart is broken. I love you profoundly, my dear friend, and I will miss you every day. May flights of angels sing thee to thy rest," quoting Shakespeare's Hamlet there at the end. But this sweet prince of art, this muse of intelligent discourse and thoughtful, you know, the I talk about the evolution of the character. You talk about at the end of Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, where the crew is pretty much phased out, and then Leonard Nimoy would pop up on The Next Generation in, you know, the mid-90s. Ultimately, that was it for the original Star Trek timeline, and then he kind of came to appreciate what he had once it was gone, like so many of us do, and that he was chosen. You could have gone with Kirk. You could have gone in another direction when they rebooted the franchise to be the one that crossed over, to be the one to hand over the baton, and to come back for one final time there in Star Trek Into Darkness. And I think about the magnitude of he's in one scene, it's cut into two parts, and it echoes his death in the Prime timeline. After he greets his younger self, he's asked, you know, did you run into Khan and what happened? And he explains, I've taken a vow, I'm not going to tell you, but true to the character, logic only going so far, he then breaks the vow and he says, I'm going to tell you that he's dangerous and he will not stop until, you know, he kills your entire crew. And then comes the bullet, you know, did you defeat him? Younger Spock asks, and Nimoy's Spock says, at great cost, yes. And those are the words that are echoing with me today, at great cost. And what is the cost? We've lost a legend.
Very well said, certainly. And I think an appropriate note upon which to end this reflection. I'm glad that we've had an opportunity to do so. Because he was a giant, and he did just find so much in his many years, and it's a sad day, but in so many ways it's an opportunity to reflect back on a happy life.
Again, Matt, quoting, you know, he's really not dead as long as we remember him.